You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, 855-616-1620 is the phone number, the text number as well, as the Bucks go to Boston, and basically revenge is a dish best served cold. They return the favor to the Celtics. You may have said Boston stole one on Monday. The Bucks do the exact same thing here to take a 3-2 advantage in this best-of-7 series, and a series that they have played entirely without Chris Middleton. For all the talk of the struggles in the half-court offense, we certainly saw that again tonight. But I think the Bucks found a couple of key pieces to the recipe to take this lead, and the mindset that this team had. Giannis talking after Game 4 and after that loss. I know a lot of Bucks fans were dejected, and Giannis saying emotion is for movies, it's not for basketball. Giannis after the game tonight. Same message we heard throughout the postseason last year. The job's not done yet. Can't get too high, can't get too low. That is the exact mindset you want to have in a closeout situation. And look, the Bucks are coming to Milwaukee to win the series because this was a great win. I think the status of Chris Middleton is obviously going to be the talking point going into the weekend. There may have been a little bit of optimism and a glimpse of hope that we got from Coach Mike Budenholzer on the pregame. But you have to continue to prepare and move forward in this series with the assumption that Chris Middleton will not be available here. But as Giannis said, we're going to Milwaukee to close this series out. As big as this win was, you do not want to have to win in Boston twice. Three times, essentially, in this series, but twice in the span of 3 games. You don't want a game 7. You don't want to play with your food. You got to come out Friday night, clean up those things that really held the Bucks back through the first 24 minutes of this game, and put this team away. If they do that, they will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals for the 3rd time in 4 years. And we're not there yet. But just let that sink in. Two decades of questions over when will this team get out of the first round? When is this going to happen? To possibly get to a spot where not only are you a perennial playoff team, not only are you winning that opening round series every year, 3 out of 4 years, you could be in the conference finals if you win on Friday night with the one lone holdout year, the year of the NBA bubble. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to get in touch with us on the show tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. We're on in Milwaukee, in Madison as well. This is unlike a win I can remember. The way the Bucks closed this thing out and the performance by Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday, as if he needed any more recognition, as if you forgot what he did in that postseason run last year, this very much felt like Game 7, how he played against the Brooklyn Nets. The offense wasn't there through the first 3 quarters for Holiday, showed up big in the 4th quarter in overtime, made some big plays. And what he did in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, the rip on Devin Booker, the alley-oop to Giannis, to clinch that game, and it felt like deliver the sucker punch, the blowout punch to the Phoenix Suns. This felt like we saw the same thing tonight. When you look at this box score, if you are in Boston, you are wondering, how did we lose this game? 50-44, Celtics outscore the Bucks in the paint. 15 fast break points for the Celtics, 7 for the Bucks. 13 turnovers from the Bucks, 10 from the Celtics. And going into the 4th quarter, 10 threes from the Celtics, 7 from the Bucks. You look at all of this. You get a 34-point game from Jason Tatum. You get 60 combined points from Tatum and Brown. And you lose this game. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Again, here for at least an hour, but we are here for you for the remainder of the night in a thrilling Bucks victory. And I compared this to Game 5. The Bucks lost Game 5 against the Brooklyn Nets. I compared it to Game 7, I should say, against the Nets. Game 5 against the Phoenix Suns. There are moments where you can make that comparison. I don't know a singular game that I can compare this to. This was absolutely incredible, the way the Bucks played and the resolve they showed down the stretch. But your numbers, as we gave out, 855-616-1620. Without further ado, let's head to the phone lines. We start to in Port Washington with our old friend Dick. You're up first on Bucks Talk.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm so with you. This is just like the Nets series last year. But you know what? When we lost in Milwaukee and we won tonight, I'm sitting there in my lower level watching this. I'm thinking, when we lost the other night, what the heck happened? I mean, we shouldn't have lost. And this night, I'm looking up, it's tied. It's like I'm watching the entire game, and what the heck happened? But my main concern is that, and I don't know what the technical term is, but if you take a line from underneath the basket out and aim it towards the three-point line on both sides, a V, we are not getting our wing shots from the corners with the threes like we did in the first game against Boston. And that concerns me. My second point is, and I know this sounds really stupid, because Giannis made a big three, he's got to quit shooting those. He's, what, 4 of 38? I mean, Justin, you have the numbers there. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy on the TV was just going bonkers over that. But yet, when we needed the three, he made it. I mean, do you think he needs to cut back on those?
So 5 attempts tonight. He made 2 of them, and they both came in the fourth quarter. I thought they were equally huge. I mean, the first one knocked the margin below double figures. The second one, I think, made it from pulled you from 6 to 3. But look, I get the rationale and the point that that Stan was bringing up too. Of, you know, every time, and Stan Van Gundy's not, every analyst has pointed this out. Every time you see Giannis pull up, it's a win for the defense. Now,
yeah,
with this Celtics team, I would counter with, well, Giannis isn't feasting at the rim as easily as he has against other teams, but still. If Giannis is going to take jumpers, I want to see those pull-up mid-range, because he's been very effective from there. I'm fine with him taking 3 or so 3-pointers a game to see if he has the rhythm and if he has the touch, but he's at least cut it down somewhat there. I think 3 to 4 is right where you want him to be. Tonight it was 5. He hit his last 2, so I can't totally complain with it, but I see both sides of the coin there.
Yeah, it's like right when we're starting to gain momentum, he'll take a 3 and we miss, you know, like tonight, and then all of a sudden we're down by 7 again or 8 or whatever. It makes the game harder, if nothing else. Take some more mid-range jumpers, you know? I mean, kick it out. If you go back and look at the film from the first game, we won that game because he was kicking it to the corners and we made threes. That's what we need to get on Friday.
Well, you also hope the fourth quarter shooting can carry over and you get more of that on Friday. Because look, the Celtics, the Celtics weren't ice cold, but the Celtics were 32% on threes. They were 10 of 31. And 31 is really right around where Boston wants to be in terms of their volume of three-point attempts. You go back to the first 2 games of the series, it was, 92 attempts, I think, they took. They don't want to get that high. They want to be in the low to mid-30s. But, you know, Boston is going to have, and there's potentially 2 games left. You can't bank on them not getting a 16-for-30 game in one of those. So, to me, you hope this carries over and it's transferable and you hit shots. You know, it doesn't have to be 45% like they were tonight. They're 29%, maybe it was 28%, coming into Game 5 tonight in this series. You got to at least be 33, 34%. So that's all you ask for.
Yeah.
But the turnovers and everything else, like I do believe, and this is my hope, this kind of unlocked something with those guys that have been struggling. They hit some big shots, and it was all of your key figures from last year, and in Bobby and Pat and Drew Holiday. Wesley Matthews, I know, wasn't there last year, but he hit some big shots. But I think more importantly, the way they closed this game with the lineup, that's what you discovered. And I think a lot of people were pointing to it for the last couple of games. This is how you have to play. Why wasn't Bobby Portis on the floor in the fourth quarter of Game 4? Well, he closed this game. And you wondered about the Grayson Allen minutes.
Played 15 minutes.
Yeah, he was great. And Grayson Allen and Bobby Portis, as this game progressed, I think you looked at it and said, I don't know. I mean, Grayson Allen's not getting open. He looks a little tentative. He's not hitting shots. And the duo of he and Bobby Portis defensively, not great. The Celtics can find ways to attack it. They went away from that. These five guys that they closed the game without Chris Middleton, that's your best group. And that's what you have to play a bulk of the minutes with. So I do think, Bud mentioned, we looked at some things. I didn't want to tip my hand. That's probably it of this is the best lineup we have. We're going to save it for when we need it. You got to keep that going for 48 minutes on Friday.
Yeah. I got a quick question for you, too. Tonight on one of the sports stations, they said that Chris can come back for game six or seven.
Well, it's
would you play him Friday?
I'm not even going to get into it.
Let's just say, okay, all right.
Well, I just say, and I understand what you're asking, but we don't know. You know, like we don't know where he's at in terms of his recovery. And I've seen people cling to reports that have been out there. The team has released nothing. You know, they've said he's progressing fine. We're optimistic. Optimistic doesn't mean we're optimistic he's going to play in this series. So I think you have to approach the weekend with the assumption he's not going to play. And if you can get through this series without him, great.
Tremendous. Yeah, tremendous. Tremendous. Yeah.
All right, Dick, thanks for the call.
Great. I'm in hog heaven. Yep, bye.
855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us. It's Heather Racine and talk with Josh. You're up next in the show. Hello, Josh.
Yep. Yeah, I thought it was a great game. I don't know why we're talking about Giannis and what he's doing. He had 40 points, and I think he did a great job. I think one of the keys was every player on the Bucks. You might want to check this. I think every player on the Bucks hit all of their free throws besides Giannis.
He's
driving the ball, getting a lot of free throws. I think everybody else made theirs, and when you look to a close game like this, if everyone's making their free throws, not missing a single one, I think that's a huge key. I thought we did great offensive rebounding tonight. I don't know why we're taking shots with Giannis at the top of the key, no one underneath to rebound it. But with that said, we did do a great job offensive rebounding when we did miss our shots tonight.
17 of 21 at the free throw line. Giannis was 6 of 10. So and Bobby Portis hit some big ones, 6 of 6 at the line. And some of those were clutch, but Pat Connaughton's were arguably the biggest of the game to make this a 3-point game with 6 seconds left and no timeouts for the Celtics to advance it.
Yeah, I think it was just a great team effort. One question I had for you, do you think it'd be smart to not play
Chris Middleton?
I can't think of his name right now. The point guard, he comes in off the bench, George Hill. It just didn't seem like he had the pace of the game tonight when he's trying to guard Tatum or Brown.
Yeah, and look, that's going to get a lot of the it already has. Thanks for the call, Josh. It's already been a point of contention for a lot of Bucks fans over Javon Carter versus George Hill. George Hill, I thought overall for the series, he played okay up until the fourth quarter of Game 4. He started this game pretty well. 13 minutes, didn't take any shots, picked up 2 fouls, had 2 rebounds. I think that's basically where you're at this point, especially in this series with George Hill. I think what you like on Hill versus Javon Carter is the size that he gives you and some of that versatility. But I think what we saw from George Hill tonight in terms of minutes, that's what you can expect moving forward. This was essentially 7 guys deep that the Bucks played. Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton, the 2 guys getting a lot of the minutes off the bench. Celtics were basically 6 deep. And assuming Robert Williams can return for Game 6, it's going to be interesting to see how they work him back into the mix. Because Daniel Tice gave him a boost early. teetered off as the game progressed. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us here on Bucks Talk. Head to Tosa, talk with Zach. You're up next in the show.
Hey, so I was questioning, we know that Drew Holiday is our star point guard. I felt like throughout the game he was throwing up a lot of crazy shots. We know he's clutch at the end of games on defense, even in the finals, and at the end of this game we know. But how do you feel about the splitting of times between guards throughout the game, including like Javon Walker?
So you wanted Javon Carter in the game, you're saying?
Yes. And I feel like a little bit more time with Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton. I feel like throughout the game, Drew Holiday wasn't putting up the best shots and playing the best defense throughout the game until the fourth quarter. That's kind of how he has been throughout all of the playoffs.
Well, thanks for the call, Zach. Drew was, look, it in very many ways reminded you of Game 7 against the Nets, where I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but he struggled through the first three quarters of that game. He hit two big shots in the fourth quarter. And this is just, I dare to say, the Drew Holiday experience, where you're going to have these types of moments throughout the course of the game, but when it really matters, that's where Drew Holiday really comes up big. In the first half of that game, Game 7 against the Nets, Drew Holiday had scored 4 points on 2 of 11 shooting, and everybody was pointing to, man, you need more than that from Drew. He was 2 of 16 going into the fourth quarter in Game 7 with 4 points and scored 9 points in the fourth on 3 of 5 shooting, and made some big plays defensively in overtime. This is what he's done throughout his time here in Milwaukee. He hit big shots throughout the course of this game. And I understand the plays that we're going to pinpoint and say, boy, a lot of one-man possessions here and a lot of isolation and a lot of quick shots here. But for all the bad that you can point to, I would point to three times as much good, and especially in that final 11-second sequence that Holiday gave you here tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us, whether you are listening in Milwaukee or Madison. We're just getting started here. The Bucks go to Boston and steal Game 5, giving them a chance to close out the series Friday night. A lot more phone calls coming in. We will get to you. We'll head back to Boston and hear from Greg Matzik as well. But the Bucks now 48 minutes away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals for the third time in 4 years. More after this. .110-107, the Bucks come back, and there is no other way to put it other than stun the Boston Celtics. There's not one singular player you can point to here. We touched on Drew Holiday, and again, the 11-second sequence that Drew Holiday had to close this game out, the block on Marcus Smart, and the body control that he had to block that shot basically with his forearm, keep it in play, and then the presence of mind while trapped in the corner to throw it off of Marcus Smart's body. That set the table for Pat Connaughton to come up and hit two big free throws. And I know every single Bucks fan listening to the game, watching the game, when they had that possession, I think you were all saying, I love Giannis. Giannis has got to be the trigger man here. Let's get the ball into Grayson Allen or somebody that's a very, very good free throw shooter so we make sure this is a three-point game. Pat Connaughton comes in and calmly sinks both of them. And then Drew Holiday again, picking the pocket of Marcus Smart to seal this game. And look, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. The Bucks were very lucky. It was a great individual play twice by Drew Holiday, but there was luck involved as well. The way he blocked that shot to keep it in bounds so it's not out of bounds and the Celtics get another crack at it. And on that final play where he stripped the ball from Marcus Smart, Bobby Portis inadvertently picked his own man and sent Wesley Matthews to the ground, which freed up Jason Tatum down the sidelines. When you go back and watch the replay, look at how wide open Jason Tatum is. All Marcus Smart has to do is get him the ball. but Drew Holiday made sure that wasn't possible. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to join us here on Bucks Talk. A number of callers still trickling in here. We're going to get to Greg Matzik momentarily, who is on the scene in Boston, but there's a couple of callers that have been holding for a while here. I want to get to those first. Let's start with Mike in Shorewood. You're up next. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, man? That's one of the probably all-time improbable Bucks wins. Just a sequence of events of everything that had to happen for that game, starting with the Giannis three and Marcus Smart just basically bungling that game away with a couple of questionable shots, the bumping into his teammate there and getting Portis, and then to Drew Holiday. You were talking about Drew Holiday. To me, why we got him, obviously the Bucks don't win the championship without him. Sometimes, you know, you can question his ISO shots. You know, I don't like it at times, and it's very concerning. But to me, his defense more than makes up for it, and that's what gets left out. To me, he's the best defensive guard in the league. He should have won it over Smart, but I guess Marcus Smart had more highlight plays on a bigger platform, obviously, with playing in Boston. To me, Drew Holiday, what he does is effective as any guard I think I've ever seen since probably Kobe, in terms of the way he can lock you down and make plays. And you saw it again tonight, man. Just incredible how that block shot there to not even on Smart there and then to pick him on the final play, not even allow them to set and get that three-point shot off to even tie the game. Just incredible. And Giannis, with that a busted eye there, just dominating. This team just showed what the heart of champs is willing to do in a big moment there when it looked like Boston. And I'm going to be first to admit, I thought Boston was going to win this game. I think, oh, man, we're probably going to have to go game seven back to TD Garden there. And for them to once again prove me wrong, thankfully, just tells you everything you need to know about this team and really a real gut punch to Boston, because they all, with about 10 minutes left in the game, I think they pretty much were playing victory formation, just trying to run out the clock. And I think they cost themselves that win there and allowed the Bucks to really get going and take that game over. So just incredible. Hats off to this team. And I can't wait to see Friday night going to be out there in Deer District. And it's going to be probably beyond insane out there for game six in a closeout game. I don't think I expect the Bucks to come out to really take it to them early. They obviously want to avoid a game seven. So I think they're looking at this as a game seven on Friday night. And it's going to be insane. I can't wait to be out there. And it's going to be just what a game tonight. One of the best wins I think I've ever seen. And Drew Holiday, man, defense is not as sexy as the guys that score, but you see all the hoopers out there, you recognize what the defense can do in big moments, and you saw it again tonight. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Mike. Thanks for the call. Let's squeeze in one more quick before we head to Boston. Bob's been waiting for a while patiently in Waterford. Bob, you're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see the game. I worked nights, so maybe that's a good thing going on here, but you know, we talk about all the intangibles, Giannis and the threes, this and that. But this team, they're the world champs. They're the world champs for a reason. There's so much trust with this team within the players, the coaches. Kudos to Bud for making adjustments, I guess, for this game. Because let's be realistic. I don't think anybody gave this team a chance to win tonight. This has been pretty much a heavyweight fight between these two teams. Great ball and everything, but I trust this team, and I think the players trust each other. So you know what? All the in-between stuff, the final score, the results, it doesn't matter how they get there. And like I said, they're the world champs for the reason. They've gone to the conference finals 3 years out of the four. So whatever formula's working, they're sticking to it, and we're seeing the results. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you bet. Good to hear from you, Bob. Three out of four if they win on Friday. But I agree, you got to approach Friday as a game seven. Okay, in Boston, I believe he's still in TD Garden. He was there for, I don't know how to describe it other than the stunner, but our own Greg Matzik on the scene there. Boy, how quiet did it get in the final 5 seconds?
The polar opposite of the euphoria that existed in the arena after the Al Horford putback slam with about 2 minutes to go. I mean, that was a arena upside down moment here in Boston. And you start writing the story, Al Horford putback slam. He does it again, a thunderous dunk. leads Boston to victory, emotional, uplifting moment. Well, the Bucks weren't having any of that. So there was just sort of a slow burn to the Bucks comeback, Justin, where, you know, fans sitting behind me were, okay, you just let's take it to the rack, right? Let's just come on now, let's get a hoop. And then the Bucks just started raining threes. So it was kind of like this death by a thousand cuts sort of thing that was happening. And then when the Bucks actually took the lead on the Portis offensive rebound and putback, that's when it started. That was like a what just happened here. The Bucks completed the comeback the same way the Celtics did in Milwaukee just a couple of days ago. And the people who left, I mean, like mouth agape, like walking out of this arena tonight. It was beautiful.
This the last two games in this series, I think both losing teams say, how did we lose that game? But even more so tonight, because I mentioned it at the top of the show, but Celtics shot 51% for the game. They outscored the Bucks in the paint. They had fewer turnovers. They scored more points off of turnovers. They had more fast break points. Up until the fourth quarter, they had more three-pointers. I mean, there were so many areas. Jason Tatum scored 34 points. You point to one by one of, okay, we got to do this. Check. We got to do this. Check. We got to make sure the Bucks don't get on into transition. Check. And they lose the game. To me, look, we don't know how either team is going to respond, but to me, this is more deflating than what happened to the Bucks on Monday.
That may be, but you know, I don't. How much does that matter coming into Game Six, right? Do you feel like you just sort of flush it? Like what happened, obviously in Milwaukee, was like a gut punch, but the Bucks were able to overcome that here tonight. Well, now the Celtics have been hit in the gut, and they got to go back to Milwaukee. I like the situation because now it's a true must-win. Now it's a true backs-against-the-wall situation for Boston, and they have to go on the road to do it. Something they've done before here, but this is a little different situation because it's season over if you don't do it. They felt similar, though, just like the comeback attempt. I feel like Boston erased that deficit quicker than the Bucks did. I think the Bucks' last lead before the Portis putback was, you know, around the 10-minute mark in the second quarter. I mean, Boston was in control of this game, and by the end of the third, they were shooting over 50%. But then the unthinkable happened. It was a three-point rain fest where I was looking at the shot chart here, and I was astonished to see it. The Bucks outscored Boston in the fourth quarter from the three-point line 18-0. They were 6 of 6 from three. Like, when you needed it, you got it. And that's like, that's the telltale sign of a championship team. Just the, we don't blink, plenty of time left. We got to do it, but we still have time to do it. That was the mentality that Drew Holiday talked about after the game.
Yeah, it was about a minute into the second quarter was the last time the Bucks did it. And look, the Celtics erased that lead quickly because the Celtics are a better offensive team. They have shot creators, and the Bucks just don't without Chris Middleton. And that was, I think, the frustration throughout most of this game was, I don't even know if it was frustration. You just watched it and you realized this team just doesn't have the horses. So they have to execute in those areas. And I think I had mentioned before the game, and you wondered it at times today too, of I almost wonder if they just got to play that jumbo lineup again and play with more Brook Lopez and say, we don't have a good small lineup anymore. And look, I've seen a lot of people, and I want to get into this later on the show as well, I've seen a lot of people point out how good Wesley Matthews is and say Wesley Matthews is better, a better version than P.J. Tucker was a year ago. Wesley Matthews has been great, and he has been better than expected. But the Bucks can't play small with P.J. Tucker gone. They do not have reliable guys. With Chris Middleton injured and with P.J. Tucker in Miami, they don't have reliable players for the matchups to play small. So that's what Wesley Matthews cannot do. But he's been tremendous this series. It has kind of forced your hand, and it took us a while to get there, but to finally show, okay, these five guys that closed the game, these are the best guys and the best options you have in this series. Grayson Allen, if he's going to be tentative and going to be hesitant on that trigger, I don't know that you can play him. Because defensively, we see the Celtics are going to target him. You can't play him in the minutes that Bobby Portis is there. And I think Bud did a good job in the first half of kind of tying his minutes to Giannis's minutes. But you could only do that for so long, especially when foul trouble starts to creep in. And George Hill, I thought, was okay early, but you're just not getting anything from him offensively. And this is a tough matchup for this Celtics team. So the five guys they closed the game with, you can do something against the Celtics with those five guys. The problem is, you can't do it for 48 minutes. So you got to limit the turnovers.
This was a game, Justin, where halfway through the second quarter, I'm looking at the Bucks offense saying, this is broken. Like, it's just nobody can create aside of Giannis. Drew is trying, but it feels like guys were sort of standing around and sort of watching him in moments that Giannis went to the bench. It wasn't a death blow by any stretch, but the Bucks weren't able to, you know, shave any bit of that deficit away. In fact, it grew a little bit. And then it was like a Giannis takeover, which, okay, he can do that. And he had 15 of the Bucks' 19 points in the second quarter, which is crazy. It was not, you know, crisp ball movement and, you know, the kind of half-court offense you'd love to see out of a championship team. It was just Giannis saying, I'm better than everybody, and at the very least, I'm going to get to the free throw line. I don't know that that's sustainable in a seven-game series, but in that stretch of time, it's what was required. And I didn't feel confident at the half, even though the Bucks had closed in a nice little run and it was really Giannis-induced. I didn't feel like the Bucks were getting enough out of their other complementary pieces to pull off a win and to dig out of that hole. But the offense came alive in the fourth quarter. That's the kind of offense that makes the Bucks so deadly. And it wasn't a litany of transition opportunities. And you saw this. There were times where they were taking the ball out of the net and just motoring down the floor because – well, they're just better when they can get out and run versus trying to set up in the half court. So there were moments, Justin, where I thought the offense just looked broke and it was Giannis or bust, but they did enough to sort of hang tight. And when the offense did find itself, it was at the right time in the fourth quarter. I am surprised the Bucks won this game just based upon the game flow and how things were trending and trailing by 14 in the fourth. They found a way, man. Like this, they don't blink. They absolutely never blink.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. The Bucks are not a great half-court offense, as it is. And you take Chris Middleton on the mix, they're not a good half-court offense. So I think you could point to you need more slashing to the rim, but at this point, you really only have one, two guys you trust in that spot, and that's Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis. I mean, Grayson Allen just can't. He can't. He's too hesitant, and this is not a good matchup for him with the length that the Celtics have and their defensive versatility. And Wesley Matthews is a catch and shoot guy at this point, so the Bucks' hands are kind of tied. I mean, we can say the offense was not pretty, but it's not really going to change. They're going to have to win this on defense and creating fast break opportunities. And just don't shoot yourself in the foot. That's their recipe until Chris Middleton returns.
No, I think that's right. And, you know, I think it's to play that way, and what you're saying about the offense is spot on, and it looks more clunky against a team like Boston. It's a good defensive team against any offense, especially one that hums along. They tried to get Grayson into the hole a little bit, and he just couldn't finish. They tried, Wesley did, after a couple of pump fakes to get to the hole. That didn't really work. I think Pat was able to finish once in the paint, kind of a hanging two-footer off the glass. But they just don't have a lot of options that can consistently do that. They don't have a lot of bucket getters. They have a lot of guys who can score, but not a lot of guys who can just go get a bucket. Right now it's Drew and it's Giannis. And I thought maybe they would try and go through Brook Lopez a little bit with some of the lineups they had. Trying to attack Daniel Theis seemed to be a thing tonight. But they really didn't. And Lopez has been kind of a non-factor from a scoring perspective. I thought he'd have more a role scoring, just given the options available. But they were able to find a way tonight. Giannis was superhuman, no doubt. But all the dirty work done by Bobby Portis on a night where his shot wasn't really going didn't seem to affect all the other things. The offensive rebounds, steals, free throw line. A pretty amazing night considering where his shot was and how he was able to just sort of stay with it. All the little things proved to be big things at the end.
All right, Greg. Well, I guess I want to make sure you don't get hit by that truck that's backing up behind you. So I will let you go here, and we will check it again Friday from Milwaukee. And look, you mentioned the must-win for the Celtics. Friday's a must-win for the Bucks, I think, for both teams. Because, yes, you won in Boston. You do not want to have to win twice in a weekend on the road. Like you did that once, close it out at home. You don't want to go back to Boston.
I like your style. Just do it in Milwaukee. Make it easy on yourself. All right, man, they're trying to put the ice down now. I don't know if the Bruins are playing tonight, but the crew is acting like they are. So I think I'm being asked to leave.
All right, Greg, we will check in with you again on Friday.
All right, man. Thank you.
Greg Matzik on the scene in Boston. 855-616-1620. The Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. He hops off. The lines open back up for you. Drew Holiday steals this one. And the Bucks with an incredible comeback victory. The best 12 minutes we have seen from this team since the NBA Finals. But the way they closed out this game to take a 3-2 advantage in this best of seven series. Again, phone lines wide open. More time to hear from you as the Bucks now 48 minutes away from another trip to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll hear more from you after this on Bucks Talk. An incredible comeback for the Bucks, who leave the fans in TD Garden absolutely slack-jawed and stunned with this victory. They trailed by 14 points and end up winning 110-107. They outscore the Celtics 33-21 in the fourth quarter. And as we just ran through, one by one, you look through these categories and see advantage Celtics, the points in the paint, 50-44. Bucks aren't hitting threes. They got to dominate the paint. 50-44, Celtics win it. Second chance points changed as the game went on, but fast break points, Celtics doubled up the Bucks there. Had a 14-point lead, which with no Chris Middleton and against a really good defense, feels like it's 28. Jason Tatum scores 30-plus points. He and Jaylen Brown combined to score 60 points in this game. Celtics were up on threes going into the fourth quarter. They shot 51% for the game. One by one, you look at these things and you say, how did the Celtics lose this game? It is unlike a game I can recall. And I think if you look through, well, what did this remind you of in terms of playoff comebacks? Everything you look at and all the lists that people are going to put together of greatest playoff comebacks since, it's all going to be a 24-point lead, and I think the biggest was 26 in the second half. You think back a couple of years ago, because I think the same games, not necessarily Bucks games, but the same playoff games come to mind. The 2019 first round. I remember watching this on a Bucks off night. The Warriors were up 31. The one-seed Warriors were up 31 on the eighth-seeded Clippers. This was not the Kawhi and Paul George Clippers. This was 2019. This was the Lemon Pepper Lou and Montrezl Harrell Clippers. Warriors, the 2019 version that had everyone, were up 31 points after the first quarter, lost the game. There was a big Clippers comeback over the Grizzlies, another round one game. A lot of these are 20-point lead at halftime. What makes this game different and even more remarkable is the way the defense has been played in this series. A 14-point lead. And I understand in the era of three-point shooting, 14 points is really nothing. But I would counter with this. Is 14 points really nothing when, even in the three-point shooting era, when this team is shooting 28% on their threes in the series, is 14 points really not that insurmountable when you can't plan on consistently hitting three-point shots? Now, granted, the Bucks did that. You cannot overstate this number enough. The one thing you should share with all of your friends tomorrow morning when they ask, hey, did you see that comeback by the Bucks? How incredible was that? Yeah, I heard this guy on the radio last night tell me this. The Bucks went 6-for-6 on threes in the third quarter, and the Celtics didn't even take a three. Plus 18, right there. And we talked about the discrepancy in shooting figures. Bucks were outshot or lost total points scored on three-pointers in their postseason run last year. Four series, 23 games that they played, minus 57 on threes. Coming into tonight, they were minus 84 in this series. Minus 51 in game two alone. Celtics were destroying them on threes. They don't even take a single three-pointer in the fourth quarter, and the Bucks, oh, by the way, go 6-of-6. And 2-of-2 from Giannis. 14 points against this team with no Chris Middleton, with a half-court offense that you know, let's be frank, has been brutal in this series. 14 points is a lot. That is a lot to overcome when you can't rely on consistent offense. But I'm going to go back to Rudy Tomjanovich, 20-plus years ago. Houston Rockets, a sixth seed, looking to defend their championship. Just seemed like things were off. They went on the road. They beat the Phoenix Suns, coming back from down 2-0, just like the Bucks did last year. They won these series time after time, and Rudy Tomjanovich, when the Rockets finally sealed it with that championship, beating the Orlando Magic, Rudy Tomjanovich saying, "Never underestimate the heart of a champion." That was the final 12 minutes of this game tonight. Do not underestimate the heart of a champion, the team that's defending their championship, and the team that has to know, look, we felt pretty good coming into the playoffs, took a lot of grief, took a lot of slack for ducking the Brooklyn Nets. And man, those tough Boston Celtics, they did it the right way. They embraced the bad team in the Brooklyn Nets and said, no, that's who we want. And they swept them. Never mind the fact, by the way, that they also had to win that game, because if they lose, they drop to 4. And then, from the sounds of it, Jaylen Brown can't play in that series on the road against the Toronto Raptors. But that takes away from the narrative and the great story that is the Boston Celtics. It's a Bucks team that has to survey the rest of the conference and say, we've done everything we could have asked for. Game 4 was, yes, disappointing. We had it right there, and we had a chance to be up 3-1, potentially deliver the knockout punch, but ensure you want to get past us, you got to win 3 in a row. And the last team to do that to us, the Miami Heat in the bubble. A very, very different Bucks team. Jrue Holiday was not on that team. Last team to do it in the playoffs, I should say. But you look at all that and you say, it's still 2-2. If we just execute, if we clean these things up, we've taken 2 games off of this team without Chris Middleton. If we get out of this series, and look, it's not if you're in the locker room. You expect to win this series. But those of us on the outside, if they get out of this series, you got to assume Chris Middleton is coming back at some point in the Eastern Conference Finals. And look, I've said it on this show a handful of times, and I don't think this opinion is unique. I think a lot of you probably share it. The team that comes out of this series is winning the Eastern Conference. You know, I look at the Miami Heat. They are a poor man's Boston Celtics. They're built very similarly. Very switchable on defense. They have some good defenders, but you know, when I look at this Celtics team, there is not a weak link defensively, except for the minutes. Granted, limited, but the minutes that Peyton Pritchard or Daniel Theis are on the floor, those are your weak links. Daniel Theis is playing because Robert Williams is out. And look, I would assume Robert Williams is going to be available to play in Game 6. I thought he was going to play today, so who knows? That's why Daniel Theis is playing. Peyton Pritchard is playing because there's nobody else, right? Those are the only weak links. You know, Miami, you can target guys. And I just trust the half-court offense of the Boston Celtics more than I do the Miami Heat. Celtics are a much better version of the Heat. They're similar teams. The Celtics are better. 76ers. Now, look, I don't think Philadelphia is getting out of that series, but if they do, the Bucks match up well with the 76ers. They have for the last couple of years. And that's really the one series that has evaded us. Since Giannis has arrived, since Joel Embiid has arrived, since they both ascended to the levels they're at, we haven't gotten a Bucks-Sixers playoff series. I don't think we're getting one this year. But if you're the Bucks, the point being, you look at it and you say, look, we split through the first 4 games. Disappointing loss, sure. Maybe the Celtics could say you caught us off guard in one of those games. Both teams can point to these things. The Celtics could do it in Game 3 and say, well, we came back, we should have won. Both teams could have pointed to this series and said, we should have got that one. The big difference was the first 24 minutes of Game 2. But to do that without Chris Middleton and say, oh, all we got to do is get through this series and then we're healthy and coming into the playoffs, we thought we were the best team in the East. this might be our toughest challenge. And if you can get through that without your second or third best player, depending on how you view it, certainly your second best offensive player, you feel really good about defending your NBA championship. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. We are still here on Bucks Talk. I'm sure a lot of you have yet to come down from this victory. There's still time to chime in via text, via a phone call, or on Twitter at TMJ Garcia as well. But the Bucks comeback, an absolutely incredible fourth quarter. If you had to sum up this game in one way, oh, by the way, Giannis scores 40. Drew Holiday was great. They come back in the fourth quarter. They go 6 for 6 on threes in the fourth quarter. You got to pick one of those as the story of the game. It's what? I'll give you my thoughts, hear from you after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks win an absolute thriller. Another Drew Holiday masterclass defensively. The two biggest plays of the game. We started to talk about this before, but go back and rewatch. I mean, go back and rewatch the entire fourth quarter, for that matter. But rewatch the way the Bucks closed this game, and specifically the Bobby Portis, the work that he did on the glass to get that rebound, and Bobby Portis talking about this after the game, working with the assistant coaches, going through film. Hey, this is where we see the missed free throws. This is where you need to position and be. Getting the offensive board and the putback. And it came moments, what, a minute or so after Bobby had a bunny that you looked at and you said, man, Bobby just dunked that he missed. Could have put the Bucks within one, pulled them within one. But he atones for that, gets the offensive rebound, gets the putback, gives the Bucks a one-point lead. Watch the final two plays that Drew Holiday made. And don't just watch Drew Holiday. Don't just watch the ball. Watch what's happening around him. Marcus Smart talked about this afterwards. I saw the quotes from the Celtics locker room. But Marcus Smart talked about what the play was supposed to be. Pat Connaughton killed what the play was supposed to be. Drew Holiday is going to get all the headlines and get the credit, and rightfully so, for a tremendous individual play. But Pat Connaughton blew that play up with the way that he defended Marcus Smart as soon as he caught the pass. Pat Connaughton took away everything at the top. So Marcus Smart had to keep it and attack, and then Drew Holiday to recover, get that block. And as we said, not only getting the block, how he was able to essentially block it with his forearm, keep it in bounds, has the presence of mind to throw it off of Marcus Smart's body. Because if Drew Holiday gets the ball and it goes out of bounds, gets the block and it goes out of bounds, you still got to stop the Celtics. And they're in the half court. And they got 6 seconds left. Drew Holiday's play there. And on the final play, the steal on Marcus Smart, it's not that it was total luck, but sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Bobby Portis inadvertently picks Wesley Matthews. Watch the replay and see Wesley Matthews go down after running into Bobby Portis, freeing up Jason Tatum, streaking down the sidelines, wide open, and Marcus Smart can't get him the ball because of the individual incredible play by Drew Holiday to seal this game and now advance the Bucks 48 minutes away from moving into the Eastern Conference Finals for a third time in 4 years since Mike Budenholzer has arrived here in Milwaukee. And here's the other numbers to point out. This has kind of become our thing now on this show of reminding you. But since Bud arrived here in the 2018-19 season, the Bucks, this is the 11th playoff series they have been in. In the previous 10, the team that won Game 3 won the series 10 times. As we all know, the Bucks won Game 3 in Milwaukee. You got to get one more win, and that's 11-4-11. And I mentioned this on the pregame show today. going all the way back to 1992. So we're covering 30 years here, 30 years of playoffs. I took out the 2020 bubble playoffs because there was no true home and road team, but 30 years, the last 30 years, a series has been tied at two games apiece where the road team won game five. That's happened 25 times. In those 25 instances, that team has won the series 18 of those 25. You know, coming into this game, you saw it pointed out, 82% of the time, the team that wins game five wins the series. There's a lot of momentum building towards that for the Bucks, but you have to approach game six as a must win. You do not want to go back to Boston. You do not have to win three times on the road in this series. You got two. Close this thing out at home. I asked, how would you remember this game? How would you sum it up? What was the biggest story? To me, it's those numbers in the fourth quarter. 6 of 6 on threes. I joked about this with Dave Kane on the pregame show of, man, 32% shooting last year from three, 29% in this series. The numbers and the differences between the series against the Bulls, a bad defense, but the Bulls and the Celtics here, it is jarring just how wide of a margin there is. And then it finally comes through for 12 minutes. The way this team played in the fourth quarter to me, that's the story of the game. For all the individual areas we looked at, for the Celtics to shoot at a higher percentage, for the Celtics to win points in the paint, for the Celtics to get in fast break and transition more than the Bucks, that has been what has decided these games, the first four games of this series. Bucks got more transition points in game one and three. They won game one and three. Celtics got more in games two and four. They won those games. For the Celtics to do that, to get in transition more, score more fast break points, score more points in the paint, for the first 36 minutes, hit more three-pointers, shoot better than 50% from the floor, get 60 points from your two stars, have fewer turnovers, score more points off of turnovers. Up until the fourth quarter. For the Celtics to do all of that and lose the game, it shows you how remarkable the Bucks were in the fourth quarter. And the fact that, oh, by the way, Giannis scored 40 points. 40 points and 11 rebounds against this defense that was the Giannis stoppers. And we had figured out how to stop Giannis. Giannis hangs 40 and 11 on this team. And it's the third story here behind the two plays that Drew Holiday made and the way the Bucks played in the fourth quarter. That is how incredible those final 12 minutes were. And really, it's not even the final 12 minutes. It's really the final, what, 4 minutes, 3 minutes? You heard Drew Holiday say, a lot of time left. We knew a lot of time left. Peyton Pritchard hits that shot. You throw up your hands and say, if Peyton Pritchard is going to hit this shot, where Peyton Pritchard could not find C jumping off of a boat for most of this series. And now Peyton Pritchard is driving to the basket. Grayson Allen plays okay defense on him and contests. And Peyton Pritchard gets this shot to go to make it a 14-point game with just over 10 minutes left. When that happened, I think you thought, if he's going to do this, this is tough. But what did the Celtics do on Monday in Game 4? Every time the Bucks built up a lead or made one of those plays, the Celtics countered. Bucks pushed the lead to 11. Late in the third, Jaylen Brown hits a three. Bucks get the lead to 10. Celtics make it 7 going into the fourth. And then they make it 4. And then they make it 2. And then they tie the game. Bucks did the same thing in the first half, too. 13-point game in that first half. They played as bad as you could imagine in the second quarter. It got to 13, and you were thinking, the rope is starting to slip here. You got to grab hold of this now because this building is getting loud. It's about to explode. Double figures. You got to do something to stem the tide here. And they did. A 9-3 run to close the half. And you went into halftime just as we said, the opposite of game four. You're up by seven at the end of the first quarter, where it felt like you thoroughly outplayed the Celtics. Thought, well, seven's great, but man, this should be double figures. It's a one-point game at halftime. Same rhetoric. Third quarter, it was seven again, but this feels like it should be 15 or so. It was the opposite for the Bucks tonight. To be down seven going into halftime, when that was in danger or getting close to 20, that felt like, okay, I can work with this. This is huge. Feel pretty good about where we're at. And then you lose the third quarter. Bucks have been really good in the first and third quarters of this series. It's the second and the fourth that have been their huge issues. So it felt like seven, let's just get this to five, four, three. Get it around there going into the fourth quarter and play differently. And instead of seven, it was eight going into the fourth. But they just, incredible, the way they countered and answered everything here. It gets to 14. Pat Connaughton hits a three. Jason Tatum has that dunk where he blows past Pat Connaughton, and you think, it's starting to get pretty late. Drew Holiday hits a three. Jason Tatum goes one of two at the line. Giannis gets a basket. Then you get another Peyton Pritchard basket, and that's, I think, where you really start to think, all right, now that margin for error is almost gone. Pat Connaughton again. I mean, how many times did Pat Connaughton come up with big plays in the fourth quarter tonight? Defense came up with stops, and when they did, the Bucks hit threes. They took the punches from the Celtics. They got off the mat. And they responded just like the Celtics did in game four. And I am going to be very curious. I don't think it's going to tell the whole game, but I'm going to be curious to see the first quarter on Friday and see how this Boston Celtics team looks, because that is a pretty big stomach punch. To have a chance to know 3-2, we just got to win one. We're going to Milwaukee, but we got Game 7 at home in our back pocket. You don't know what's going to happen with Chris Middleton. As we said, approach this assuming you're not going to see him in Game 6 or 7. But if you're the Celtics, you don't know what's going to happen with Chris Middleton. And now you got to win two in a row against this team that, no other way to put it than pesky. They have really, really frustrated the Celtics, made this a classic series, and they've done it without Chris Middleton. It's not the spot the Celtics want to be in. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond early on Friday and how the Bucks look. As we said, yes, it is a must-win game for the Celtics, but to me, Game 6 is a must-win for the Bucks. You do not want to go back to Boston and have to win 5-7 on the road. Three road wins in this series, if you do that, that is truly incredible. We'll wrap up the show after this. All right, putting the finishing touches here as the Bucks with an incredible win in Boston. And now come back home Friday night with a chance to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Heard from a lot of you tonight. It was fun. Games like this are certainly fun, but good to hear from everybody that chimed in and hung out with us for the last hour plus. It feels like we've been here all day, whether you're in Madison or Milwaukee listening. We'll be back again Friday night. We do not know the tip time of Friday's game yet, but the Grizzlies did win, so we do know it's going to be a doubleheader. I think I've seen that it is going to be a 9 o'clock game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors for Game 6 in that series, which would mean the Bucks would probably be a 6:30 tip here in Milwaukee. But be sure to check back on that momentarily here. But Friday is when we'll reconvene. My thanks, everybody, for hanging out for the last hour. Chris and Isaac for producing the program as well. We'll talk to you guys again Friday night with more Bucks Talk.